Did Gloucester put you straight into the first team, or did you have to play for the United at all?
I played one match for United, at least one, I know. I may have had to play more, I'm not sure. Yes, I don't know. I think perhaps, you know, having had this very lucky blue, it was counted for more than it should have done, perhaps. I don't know.
But you have played first-class rugby for Blackheath for several seasons.
Well, yes, that's true. That's true. Although I can't remember that very well at all, really.
Well, I think you proved yourself, Bill, because they kept on selecting you.
Well, kind of, you say so, yeah.
Are there any particular matches that you remember playing for Gloucester?
I think there are two matches, perhaps, which do stick in my mind. And one, I think, I've got this muddle that we did play Clenachy in those days, didn't we? Yeah. And I seem to remember going there, and it was a very needle game, and I was advised not to fall on the ball because it was very unsafe. and I can't remember. We had a very close game, and I think I was playing on the wing for that match, and I heard a lot of comment from the crowd. When the wing fully used to throw in the ball at touch in those days, didn't he?
Yes.
And so I heard a lot of comment from the crowd, but we managed to scrape a win, I think, by a few points, and that was a memorable game. And the other one was playing inside Bob, Bill's elder brother, and most of my games were Gloucester, playing inside Bob, and that was a game. I think it was against London Scottish, who were a first-class team in those days, and Bob scored five tries, and I took a little glory as I was playing inside him.
Everyone down to you.
Everyone. Yeah. My brother only had to run about 20 yards. I expect him to put the ball down.
It's not quite true.
These wing men do. By the centre.
Bad centre quarter marking me in that time.
Yeah, that's lovely. And can you tell us about Bob Hook? What sort of wing was he?
Bob?
Yeah.
Well, I do remember that. He was a very fast wing, yes.
And was he a big man?
Well, not all that big, was he? He was on the slim side, I think, wasn't he?
Slim,
tall and slim.
Tallish, 5'11". Wouldn't call him small.
Was he 5'7"?
No, that's quite tall for those days.
Yeah,
isn't
quite tall. Yeah.
How much older was he than you, Bill?
Well, he's 10 years older than me. Right. We always said that, but actually it's 9 and a half. He was born on the longest day, June the 21st, and I'm born on the shortest, December the 21st. There's only two of us in the family. But he always used to say to me at King's Home, and because I played with him, of course, keep quiet, as they used to say, keep quiet, kid, you don't know anything, you're 10 years younger than me. When he got to my age, of course, he passed away about 4 years ago, 5 years ago. Not so much of your 10 years, it's only 9 and a half, you know. things changed.
What caused you to stop playing for Gloucester, Bill?
This is where my chip on my shoulder with Dean Clare comes in. Dean Clare was on the rocks in those days, and I have it on the highest authority. There was a governor's meeting due, at which the only item on the agenda was closure of the school. Not if, but when. And a very characterful housemaster who'd been, he was a bachelor and his whole life was wrapped up with the school, and he was a bit eccentric, but he's remembered by people who know the history of the school because at this meeting he was the acting bursar, and before the meeting got on the way, he rose to his feet, which wasn't very tall, and he was quite old by then. And he drew out his wallet, put down a cheque for £1,000, and said, "If you change your decision, that's my first instalment, and if you change your decision, you'll have the rest of my estate, okay. All of it." And that saved the school.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be there now if it weren't for him. He was a character, as I say, not very easy to serve under. But my word, what a story that is, and I don't think it's known altogether. But I finished there because it was already sort of going on the rocks or in danger. And the decision was that it would change over from played soccer in those days, they would change to rugger, and I was the only member of staff with rugby qualification. So when on the last day of my fourth term at Dean Close, I had a message that the headmaster wanted to see me, and I went to see him feeling absolutely or with the usual at the end of term there with staying up late to write reports and exams and all that, and I was feeling like death, and I thought he was going to say, "Well, we'll start rugby next term," instead of which he said, "If Mr. So-and-so doesn't get a living by the end of next term, you'll have to go." And I went to see a great friend of mine after that at Oxford, and he said, "I need a curate in January. Will you come?" So I said, "Yes, I will." And I wrote back to Dean Close, "I won't wait till next term. I'll go now." But I did go on playing for Gloucester for quite a time after that. I hired a car, and the club paid for this car, and I remember feeling rather guilty because it was rather professional, and I think I also got a pair of boots free from the club. I'm feeling rather guilty about it, yeah. But that's how I went on, Then you know, after that, after time, I had a further offer which I couldn't resist of leaving Oxford and going down into Sussex, and that's finished it.
Right. The Gloucester captain in your second season, very successful season, 36-37, was Don Meadows.
Yes.
Do you have any memories of Don Meadows?
My chief memory of Don is his terrific sidestep, actually. Mm-hmm. He had a marvellous sidestep, and time and again, it sort of, that's right, Bill, isn't it? Time and again, he, you know, got past his would-be tackler.
Are there any other players who stick out in your memory of your days at Gloucester?
Well, of course, the other two clergy, you know, and playing, I suppose at any time it would have been really quite an unusual thing. And it certainly was in those days, and to have sort of three of us playing together for Gloucester was quite extraordinary, really. And of course, it's terrific to be associated with those two, and as you know, I mean, Kit's record of during the Battle of Crete and how he came to his end, it's a marvellous story,
heroic,
really. Wonderful chap, really.
People talk about him, you know, I've seen reports of his playing, and there are people saying, you know, that it was one of the most beautiful sights they saw at King's Home, Kit Tanner in full flight. Is that,
yes.
Is that right?
Well, Bill would know, he certainly told me, Bill has told me his memories, or some of his memories of Kit, and certainly he was an amazing runner. And
I think I saw Kit score the finest try that I've ever seen scored at King's Home, which really says something. Mm. It was for Gloucestershire against Cornwall in a very big game to go into the final, semi-final. But the big thing about it was that Cornwall had a fullback called Roy Jennings at the time, a very big man, a man 15 stone, a very big man for a fullback, and I know that Cornish people, even today, will tell you that he was the finest uncapped player, fullback, that Cornwall's ever had. They say that today, because I was down in Cornwall this year, and I met a man at a bus station who recognised me, and we were talking, and he brought up Jennings at the time. Well, it so happened that Gloucestershire heeled on their own line, and Kit must have received the ball. The England selectors were in the stand because another was picked for fullback for England for a fortnight's time, and two of them turned up to watch Jennings, who was a red-hot favourite to fill the vacancy. And Kit came down the wing, and he used to run in a swerve, just like that, all the time. And it was right in front of the stand, in front of the selectors, and there was about 3 or 4 yards to the line, and the rest of the field was open to him. And it looked 1,000 to 1 that he would go in field to score under the post down at Dean's Walk at Worcester Street End. But he didn't. He went the other way and to the touchline, and he left Jennings standing. I'm afraid that cost Jennings a cap, and he never did get capped. I'm afraid that cost him his cap. May have been very unfortunate for him, but Kit literally walked the last 20 yards to put the ball down behind the post. I felt very sorry for Jennings, because he was I saw him play several games, and he was a very, very fine fullback. It was a marvellous try, but unfortunately for Jennings. In that same game, I am told, and I've been told by 2 or 3 of the players that were in the game, in the guy, that some quarter of an hour later, Jennings, who was a black belt judo as well as a good rudder player, had John Abair, who was a second row forward, a big man, in a grip with his head tied between his legs, and he said he was so furious, Jennings, that this had happened to him some 20 minutes before, that he said to John Abair, and I don't wish to swear, "I'll break your B neck." And John Abair said, "Well, hurry up and get on with it. I want to get on with the game." And I'm told that is a very, very true story.
Could I just say, not till I retired here to Upton did I learn that Kit's father was rector here. Oh. And as in that Kit must have had quite a bit boyhood days here. And in fact, he's got a brother who is buried here, who was drowned in a holiday tragedy just before the war. But I never connected Kit with Upton till I retired here. Yeah. Mm.
So that's Kit Tanner. How about Mervyn Hughes as a player?
Yes. I didn't know Mervyn well, although he lived, and his widow and daughter live now only about 50 yards from me. Oh. But they were very kind when I wanted to start looking for somewhere to live in Gloucester. They had me to stay, and they came through Sussex, where I was in a parish more than once, and I got to know them in that way better than just knowing Mervyn to playing rugby, because, as I say, apart from playing on the pitch, usually I had to buzz off after the game.
Yeah.
But yes, I knew him fairly well, and he was we weren't in the same university team together. I don't think, were we?
I don't think so. I don't think you were, Bill. No.
Yeah.